Today's shir is Masechta Shkalim, Daf Yud Aleph. We will begin on Daf Yud Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom. Amrav Chizkiah. Chizkiah teaches us Tanur Rav Yehuda Gadgodus HaShulchan. The Shulchan that we had on the Beis HaMikdash. The Menorah on the Beis HaMikdash. The Mizbeichos, Vaproiches. All of these things, Ma'akvim as a Kabonis. If in order to be able to bring a carbon, we have to have all of these things in the proper places. If they should be not there, they should be broken or desecrated, the carbonus may not be brought. Divrei Ramei, that's Ramei Shita. The Chamaimrim, Ein Lecha Ma'akav as a carbon, the only thing that holds back bringing the carbon is Akir Vakan Vavad, only the Kir and the Kanon. The base and the basin from which the Kohanim washed their hands. Ask the Gemara, this Machloikis Tanoim seems not to be able to work together with a Machloikis Amoroim that we learned. Ask the Gemara, V'loikein Omer, Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Yossi B'chanina, Terei and Omerim, both Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Yossi say, Kol Hoin, regarding any utensil, regarding anything that the Torah calls noichach ma'akif. Where the Torah speaks about something being noichach, placed opposite, that item, if it's not there, holds back the being able to bring the carbon. And like the Mefarshim explained, what keli was called noichach? The menorah. Tzela, but if in describing the place of a keli, the Torah uses the word tzela, which means the side. That type of a keli ain't a makif. Its placement will not be essential in being able to bring a carbon, which refers to the shulchan. V'amrav Shmuel bar Nachman b'shem Rav Yonason, he holds a filo tzela makif, that even if the Torah describes the place of a keli with the word tzela, also the placing of that keli is essential. So he's adding, now not just the menorah is essential, but so too is the shulchan. V'amrav Ilo b'shem Rashmu bar Nachman v'afilu sima makif. Whatever the Torah uses the word sima, which would include most of the kalim, also there being there is makif, but that doesn't include the parochus. So ask the Gemara, the Tanoim that we began the shiur with, Ramea said you have to have everything. The Rabbanan held you only have to have the Kira and Kanon. These three Amoraim Shita, who we just identified, do not agree with any of the Shitas of the Tanon. It's not, none of them are as extreme as Rameyer, and none of them are as Makel as the Chachamim. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Chanina, Kan Bavadish Mefnim. The Amoraim, the three shittas of the Maram that we just spoke about, are talking about Avoid the Don in the Beis HaMikdash, inside the Beis HaMikdash. So they speak about what are the requirements, what Kalim have to be where in order to be able to do the Avoid. Kan, the Machloikis HaTanoim that we began the Shir with, are referring to Avoid Shebechutz, the Avoid on the Beis Mizbech HaChitzen, and that is what Rameir and Chum are arguing it. However, the Kli Chemda points out that certainly in a time like when the Pelishtim captured the Aron HaKodesh and it wasn't available, at that time everybody will agree that the Aron's not being where it's supposed to be will not hold back being able to do the Avodah. The Gemara here is only referring to a situation, says the Kli Chemda, where we could possibly have the Keli and don't have it where it's supposed to be. But if it's impossible to have the Keli, that's not what the Gemara is referring to. We learned in the Mishnah that the Mishnah discussed about a keves, a ramp, that was built on which the Parah Aduma was carried, and as we described in the previous year, it was actually a double ramp on which the Parah Aduma was carried. And says the Gemara, Amrav Chanina, Shachz Gedoyl Hoy B'nei Kohanim Gedoylem. The Kohanim Gedoylem acted arrogantly. Shiyoysa Meshishim Kikrei Zov, more than 60 Kikrei Zov they would spend, Hoyim Mitzimba they would spend to build this ramp. Shai Kivshish Laparish Oymed, for the ramp on which they would carry the Paraduma. Furthermore, he says, "Lo ya'ech mehem moitzi parosoi bekifsoi shel chaveroi." No one would use his predecessor's ramp. Every kohen gadol built his own ramp, which obviously is arrogant. Why can't you use his predecessors? Al-Saisroi, every kohen gadol would demolish the previous kohen gadol's ramp, or b'nei shemloi, and build a new one. And the Gemara is saying that is an improper way of acting. Heisav Rav Ula Komi Rav Mona. So Rav Ula said that's incorrect what you're saying, that they acted arrogantly. Vatani, Shimon HaTzadik, who we know is a tzadik, Shtei Paras Asa, he, in his time, he had to bring two paradumas. Mefarshim explained that in his time there were many wars, so there were many people that became Tomei, and therefore there was a great need for paraduma. And furthermore, says the Gemara, regarding Shimon HaTzadik, the ramp that he used for one paraduma, he didn't use for the other. Says the Gemara, Shimon HaTzadik Shachatzaya. Can we then say that Shimon HaTzadik acted arrogantly? So why did they build new ramp? Hashem Mali Hibapara. They wanted to bring a higher standard to the paraduma. Silsil Hibapara. They wanted to show honor to the paraduma, and because they wanted to show honor to the paraduma, they built these ramps and spent a lot of money on the ramps. So Mefarshim point out that in the way we explain the Gemara is retreating from what it originally stated. Originally, the Gemara held that the Kohanim Gedolim acted arrogantly in building the paraduma. And then the Gemara says, we can't say that because we certainly can't accuse a person like Shimon HaTzadik of acting arrogantly. But there is another pshat that I saw in the Mefarshim, that the Gemara is not changing its mind. And the Gemara is saying that certainly the Kohanim Gedolim did not act properly when they each built a separate paraduma. Shimon HaTzadik was an exception because, as we explained, Shimon HaTzadik, in the time of Shimon HaTzadik, there were wars, and there was a greater need for paraduma, to the extent that they had to process two paradumas at the same time. So they had to have two ramps available at the same time. Therefore, Shimon HaTzadik had no choice but to build two ramps. But certainly, had he had an option, he would have never built two ramps. And in fact, the Chasam Sofer and the Tshuva speaks about this Gemara. He speaks to the Kehillah Kedaisha of the city of Tzelem, who apparently had built a beautiful shul, and when that shul was built, a neder was taken by the people that the shul should never be rebuilt, demolished and rebuilt, only in the extreme example, if it would be an example where there would be allowed to sell a Sefer Torah. Under such circumstances, they could demolish and rebuild the shul. Otherwise, they may not. And now the shul, the people of this town, write the Chasam Sofer Tshuva, that they want to demolish and rebuild the shul, they want a nicer shul, and may they. And the Chasam Sofer uses our Gemara, Shachtzis Gedoli, says, it's arrogant. If you have a nice, working, beautiful shul, just because you want to have a nicer shul, it's inappropriate. And the Mefarshim point out that we learned in the Mishnah, a machloikis, from what funds the kevis was built, this ramp of the paraduma was built. Tanakam said it was built from the Trumas Alishka, from the Shkolim, and Abishol said it was built from the Kohanim Gedolim's funds. It seems, say the Mefarshim, that from our Gemara, it's pretty clear that Abishol is correct, that the money was brought from the Kohanim Gedolim. So Tzvaras Tzion says that's not the situation necessarily. Our Mishnah is speaking about the first ramp that was ever built. On the first ramp, in the Mishnah, there's Machlaikis, was it built from the Trumas Alishka, or was it built from the Kohanim Gedolim's fund? However, in further generations, as we just learned to the Gemara, there really was no need to build new ramps. If they wanted to build ramps, that's what the Gemara says, certainly came from the funds of the Kohanim Gedolim. Tani, we learned in Ebraisa, Zizin Viksolim, beams and walls, Hayotz Mekan Mekan, would go up around this ramp on which they carried the paraduma, kadesh lo yetzu v'yitzitzu ha-kahanim v'yitnu. In order that the kahanim that were carrying the para should not lean over and become tamei. So the number of pshatim. One pshat is, as we explained, as the kohen gadol or the kohen was carrying the paraduma up the ramp, we don't want that if he sees something outside the ramp, he may bend over. And as we explained previously, the entire purpose of the ramp was to avoid the kohen from becoming tamei. If he'll bend over outside the ramp, he may be mal, he may be causing a roof over a mace, and therefore he'll become tamei, so he built the walls that he shouldn't be able to bend over. Another pshat is that we don't want kahanim who were not participating in the avoided the paraduma to see that a paraduma is being carried, and there in their desire to want to participate in the mitzvah will quickly join and not realize that maybe they're tamei and they shouldn't join. So if it was done in an enclosed area, nobody will notice what's being done. Another pshat that I saw is that they wanted that the person who's doing the avoid of the paraduma not be distracted, to have kavana for the paraduma, and therefore he should remain in an enclosed area. We learned in the Mishnah that a machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, if Hegdish went, so to speak, into the business of selling different items, yenos, shmanim, saltois, wine, oil, flour, and then have profit. Rabbi Akiva oime ein mistak mishal Hegdish. Hegdish doesn't go into business. Rabbi Shmuel disagreed. Rabbi Shmuel said that they may. Says the Gemara, Elam writes to Yehefset Shaloi Vaschal Hegdish. So Rabbi Akiva, however, agrees that if there's a situation that there's a guarantee that Hegdish can only profit and not lose, that if the profit, that somebody wants to invest, so to speak, with Hegdish, that if there's a loss, he'll carry the entire loss. But if there's a gain, Hegdish will share, then it's permitted. So there's actually a number of ways of understanding this Gemara. Because our Gemara seems to be saying that the reason why Rabbi Akiva doesn't want Hegdish to sell these items is because we're afraid that Hegdish shouldn't take a loss. However, in the same Gemara, we have the same Gemara Masechta Ksubos. There the Gemara explains Rabbi Akiva, Ein anias b'makom ashiris. It's improper that Hegdish should have to go into business. It's not becoming Hegdish should have to try to sell items, peddle items, to make some profit. So most Mefarshim explain that the Bavli and the Yerushalmi are arguing. According to the Bavli, according to Akiva, Hegdish never goes into business. Whether they can make a profit, whether they guarantee not to lose anything, makes no difference. The Yerushalmi is explaining that we don't want Hegdish to take a loss, and therefore in a situation such as the one just described, where Hegdish won't take a loss, it's permitted. The Chasam Sofer disagrees. He says that even the Bavli would agree that in a case where the Hegdish is guaranteed only to profit, there is no, even the Bavli would agree, but Kiva holds they can do business. And the Sefer Masad Yerushalayim explains just the opposite. He says, Rabbi Akiva, both the Bavli and Yerushalmi will agree, can never do business with Hegdish. It's in Rabbi Shmuel that the Yerushalmi is discussing. That even though we learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Shmuel holds that they're allowed to do business, Hegdish is allowed to do business. When is Hegdish allowed to do business? Only when they're guaranteed not to lose. But if there's a concern for loss, even Rabbi Shmuel, according to the Masechta Yerushalayim, would hold that Hegdish is not allowed to do business. The question that the Mefarshim also ask, if Hegdish is doing business in a way that they can't take a loss, they can only profit, isn't that ribis, isn't that interest, which is prohibited? Mefarshim say, ain ribis l'hegdish, Hegdish is not limited to the surim of ribis. Said, now our Mishnah said the same din applies to funds of aniyim, funds of poor people, that according to Kiva, you're not supposed to do business with them. Kehadar ba'azimna, like ba'azimna, ispakit gabei model the yusamim, he was holding funds of orphans, also for Shaul Ramana, and he went to ask Ramana if he could do business with them. Amle, in boss, if you're willing to stipulate, they have sadu didoch, vagra de taveichen, that all the laws you'll accept and the profit you'll share, sure, it's permitted. He had the money of orphans. Father Kenyan acted that way. Again, why is there no ribbis? Here it's not Hegdish. The Farshim say that midaraisa, the only ribbis that's usur is ribbis ktsutsa. It's a set amount of interest that we know for sure. Here it's not ribbis ktsutsa, it's not set from before, and therefore it's only ribbis midrabonon, and because we're dealing with yesoimim, ribbis drabonon is permitted. Rav Volzner has a tshuva based actually on what we're speaking in this Gemara. If business, if investments may be done with stock of money, and to summarize what he says, he holds that if the funds are, somebody has a private charity fund, puts his miser in there, or he has other stock of money he puts in there, that money may be invested, that money may be invested in something which is sure to profit, like we're describing here. If, on the other hand, he has, we're talking about a gabet stocker, a public fund, so there he says like this, the halacha is that funds have to be available at all times. The money cannot be tied up, that it should not be available. But if the fund is not, if the fund is, has enough money that there's money available for people who need it, and then there are extras, he holds that the money can be invested in something that's safe, that there's no, that there won't be any loss to Hegdish. We learned in the Mishnah about these various items, what were they done with? Maisa Peris, the leftover of these profits, Masnisan Rabbi Shmolhi. The Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shmuel that we just described, that he holds the Hegdish is allowed to do business. The Rechiba Yosef, Pos Masnisa, he explained our Mishnah, Masa Peris, the profits from these items that Hegdish sold, Schala Hegdish, goes to Hegdish. Mois Nesachim, what is the Mois Nesachim? Zusar Revius. When the Mishnah spoke about Mois Nesachim, it's referring to the Sar Revius, something that we will learn later in the Masechta, that the halacha is like this. Hegdish, again, never takes a loss. So if they contract at the beginning of the year to buy flour, four saw, let's say, for a dollar, and then the price of flour goes up, they already locked in the good price. But if, on the other hand, the price of flour drops, even though they had contracted at a higher price, they take advantage of the current lower price. So if that's the case, if flour goes up and they locked in a lower price, so now they will have profit. They could sell that flour that they got at the lower price and profit. That's what the Mishnah means according to Rechiya by Yosef and Mois Nesachim. So again, to review, according to Rechiya ben Yosef, Mois Peris means the profit they made from the items that they sell, and Mois Nesachim means the profit they make from the fluctuation in the commodities they buy. Rabbi Yochanan explained our Mishnah, Mois Nesachim Zusarvius, Mois Peris, excuse me, when the Mishnah says Mois Peris, it means the Sarvius that we just described, the fluctuation of the commodities, and Mois Nesachim refers to the Berutzim, when they used to bring flour or wine to the Beis Hamikdash and put it into a keli, it would overflow. If that overflow, they would sell, and that's called the Mois Nesachim. Ask the Gemara, V'lesle Reb Chiya Yosef liberutzim. Does Reb Chiya Yosef not agree that Mois Nesachim includes this overflow? Amrev Chizkiya, Mad Nafal Sarafis, Nafal liberutzim. So Chizkiya explains that both Sarvius and Berutzin, according to Reb Chiya Yosef, are included in Mois Nesachim. That means according to him, Mois Nesachim includes two items, the overflow and the profit from the commodity. Says the Gemara, Al Date Reb Chiya ben Yosef Nicha. According to Reb Chiya ben Yosef, our Mishnah could be unexplained. Because the last words that we learned in the Mishnah says, Zev zeh lo hayu moedim peiros. The Reb Akiva and Reb Chananya don't agree with Peiros, because they hold, A mistak mishal hagdish. As we explained before, Kiva holds you're not allowed to do profit with hagdish. Avle b'shalanim, not with poor people's money. Lefikach, l'zevazel loyoy moedim apayris. Therefore, they don't agree to this concept of moedim apayris. Because according to Rav Chiya bar Yosef, the definition of moedim apayris is what hagdish profits from what it sells. But according to them, hagdish doesn't sell anything. So there's no Moisa Paris. So we understand the words of the Mishnah that say the Rekiva, Rebbe Chanani don't agree with Paris. However, as the Gemara, adopted Rabbi Yochanan, Kasha, according to Rabbi Yochanan, how do we explain these words? For Tanina, we learned in the Mishnah, Amdu Mishalish, if somebody agreed that they're going to sell Hagdish flour for Sofer Seller. And then it goes down to three, Yisapik Mi'arba. They still have to sell at that price. For Taninan. So now let's understand. Everybody agrees to that Mishnah, that there is a concept that Hegdish could profit from the fluctuation of the price of commodities. So if that, and that, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is the definition of Maisa Peiris. So how could it say in our Mishnah with Taninan Zevazalai Maisa Peiris that according to Bekiva there's no such thing as Maisa Peiris? Of course there's such a thing as Maisa Peiris. Maisa Peiris is the profit that Hegdish makes from the fluctuation that Bekiva agrees existed. Answers the Gemara. When the Mishnah said that Bekiva doesn't agree with Paris, it doesn't mean that he doesn't agree that such a thing is Maisa Paris. Of course he agrees that such a thing is Maisa Paris, that Hegdish profits from the fluctuation of price. What he disagrees with the Tana Kama is what was done with it. He doesn't agree that it should be used for carbon oilers when nothing is available, nothing else is being brought in the Mizbeach. What does he say is done with it? What he holds is it should be used for Klisharis. Because he holds that this is a tzarech hatzibur that it should be used for. Ad kedoin, says the Gemara, till now we were discussing barot tzibur. If carbon tzibur was brought and there was an overflow of flour or oil, that overflow was used to make kli sharis. Ask the Gemara, is the same din afilu barot yachid? That when somebody private brings a carbon, that the overflow flour and wine will be used to make klisharis? Because ask the Gemara, if that's the case, we have a problem. Because lo nimtzu klisharis by mishal yachid, these are klisharis have to belong to the tzibur. But if it's bought from the flour and oil of people's private kabonos, how could you use somebody's private items for a tzibur? For klisharis, which has to come from the tzibur, answers the Gemara Kadotanin, as we learned previously. If a woman made a garment for a son who's a kohen, kshayr, it's kosher, or vachit tzibren al tzibur, as long as she properly gives it over to the tzibur. Here too, even though these berutzin come from a carbon yachid, we're certain that they give it over to the tzibur, and therefore can be used to buy klisharis, which have to come from tzibur funds. Now, there are two types of overflow. There's an overflow of a liquid, wine, and there's an overflow of a salad, yavesh, flour. And as the Mefarshim explained, there are two inherent differences between these two overflows. When a liquid is overflowing, so you pour, the halacha is that anything that's in the klisharis certainly becomes kadosh. So if you pour liquid into the klisharis, it hits the bottom, it hits inside. Then when you pour more liquid, it's not necessarily the liquid that was poured in last is the last liquid that's in the keli. It all mixes, and the one was on the bottom could end up on top. By a salad, that's not the case. As you pour it in, this if it goes to the bottom, and the top is the top, and unless you mix it, what was put in last will never have been inside the keli, and will never actually have become kadosh from being inside the keli. That's one difference between lach and yavish. Another difference between lach and yavish is that the kli sharis that were used for lach become holy by being anointed with the Shemen and Mishcha, and they're entirely smeared, the inside, the outside, and the top. So therefore, when the wine touches even the top, it becomes kadosh because the top was anointed. Such was not the case but a klishar is used for lach, for flour. Says the Gemara, at kedoin, until now we could only say that beberut se lach, that the overflow of liquid can be used to buy klisharis. Ask the Gemara, will the same din apply that filo beberut se yavish, by the overflow of the flour? Says the Gemara, that attacker will not be the same. Where do we see this concept? Kedhi the tanayin tamon, like we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Menachos. Mishnah says Masechta Menachos, and Nesachim shekatcha bekeli. If Nesachim were put into a keli, the nimtza zevach pasul, and the carbon that those Nesachim were supposed to be brought along with became disqualified. So the halach is, im yesham zevach acher, if there's another carbon that I could use those Nesachim to bring along with, yikruvu imai, they should be brought along with that, vimlanu. However, if there was no other carbon available, and the Nesachim, the wine, ended up remaining overnight, yufsul belina, they become possible because they remained overnight. But the Mishnah over there says, it only refers to the lach, to the wine that became kadosh by being in a klisharis. Where that is not the case, by yavish, it doesn't have that kedusha. So since there's a difference between lach and yavish, as we learned in that Mishnah, so too here. Only the berutze lach will be used for the klisharis, not the berutze yavish. Every day, in the base of Migdash, ktoiris had to be brought. And as the Mefarshim explained, there was a halacha l'Moshe Sinai to make 368 portions of ketores. But in the Jewish calendar, in most years, there are only 354 days. So we have extra, called Moshe ketores. And as we've been explaining, we can't use the ketores from this year for next year. Every year's Kabbalah Sibur, which the Torah includes, have to come from this year's funds. So our Mishnah is going to discuss how we could take Torah, which was made with this year's funds, and use them for next year. Ma'isek Torah by Yosimba, this extra Torah that we just identified, what did they do with it? Says the Mishnah, Mefrishim en Eschar Omnim. In the base of Mikdash, they had people who worked, and they had funds set aside for these workers. So what they do is, they take the money set aside for these workers, and they apply the ketores on those funds. Then, then they give the ketores for and then, so we first take the ketores and we pay it on that money. Then we give the ketores to the workers as their wages. And then we buy it back from these workers from the truma for this year. So if today is the last day of Adar, they would go through this process, be paid the Maisuk Tyrus on money set aside to pay workers, then give the workers that Tyrus, and then buy back that Tyrus. Says the Gemara, this is all Vimba Chadish Bismanon, if they had the new Shkolim available, so they could go through this process. So they buy it back, this Tyrus that the workers are holding, they buy back from the new coins that they have. But if the new coins have not yet arrived, and ketores they need to have, they buy from the old coins. Because as the Gemara, as the Mefarshim explained, although the halacha is, as we said a few moments ago, every year's ketores has to come from this year's funds, of course it's more important, says the Mishnah, that they should bring the ketores, even if they have to use last year's funds, than not to bring the ketores at all. Now the question that the Rishonim discuss is why did they have to go through this whole process that we described in changing last year's ketores into this year's ketores? Why couldn't they just take money and repay it and then buy it back? So Rashi explains, Rashi says, Masechet Shavuos, because we want it to be done in a more tzniyistic, in a more low-key fashion. So the Mefarshim asks, we don't find this concept when we redeem an animal that became posel, that became balmum. Why all of a sudden here do we have to be more tznuah? So Mefarshim give a number of terutzim. One terutz is that there it's obvious that the animal became balmum, that it became blemished, and therefore it has to be redeemed. Here we don't see anything inherently wrong with the Torah, that's why it has to be done this way. Another terutz that the Mefarshim give is, when an animal that's sold, nobody realizes necessarily that it's hegdish money. That's a hegdish animal that's being sold. They think this is an animal being sold. Therefore, we don't have to be so discreet. On the other hand, k'tiris, nobody uses k'tiris in the home. They're not allowed to use the k'tiris in the home. So it's obvious that it's being used, that it is something that belongs to hegdish. So since we know it's something that belongs to hegdish, we want to treat it in a very discreet, bekavedig manner. Ask the Gemara. But if this is the way we have to go through the process, ask the Gemara, we said that we had money available, that the Hegdish had money set aside that they would pay workers with. What is the status of that money? Hegdish. We have the Ktiris, which is Hegdish. Whenever we pay the Hegdish, what is the process? We take something which is Hegdish, and we pay it with money, or with an item which is Chulin. But here, we're taking an item which is Hegdish to buy Hegdish. So what are we accomplishing? Ask the Gemara of Elay Nimtza Hegdish Meschalala Hegdish. We're taking the Torah which is Hegdish and we're being paid it, we're redeeming it with money which is Hegdish. How does that work? Heitzer Oyser. So what should he do? Omer Rav Shimon Babista, that's not what happened. What happened was, maybe Mos Mechala Binyan. First they bring the money that they had to pay the workers and they use it to pay for a building that the workers had, that the workers built. So now, this money is not Hegdish anymore, or maybe Ktaris, or Mechalaleim, and now with this money, which is no longer Hegdish, because they used it to pay for the building that was built, they are paided the Ktaris with it, until they ultimately give it to, then they give that Ktaris to people that they owe wages to, and as we learned in the Mishnah, we go further and then buy it back. Ask the Gemara, that money that was used that to repay the Ktiris, which now became Hegdish, what is done with that money? Rebbe Omer, Omer Ani, and the Mefarshim say that the language of Omer Ani is like, we have Nir Lafi, Nir Daiti, he was a great Onov, so he used such a language. So Omer Ani, it should be given to the people of the home of Gamu. They were the people who built, who baked the lechem upon him. They knew how to do that. Beis Aftinus were the people that built the Ktiris, that made the Ktiris. Shabir Boim Bikim Bepitim Ktiris Mas Lechem upon him. Omer of Shmur of Yitzchok, Vehen Shiyu Chayav Lam Moshar Rishoina. We explained that now that they have this Ktiris, we now go and take the new Shkolim and buy back the Ktiris from them. Says the Gemara that the only time we could use the new Shkolim to pay them is if we owe them for work that they did this year. Because if we only owe them for work that they did last year, we can't use Shkolim from this year for work that we owe them from last year. Rechibar Baboy. So therefore, Rechibar Baboy asked, we don't owe them any money from this year, so we can't give them the shkol from this year. What do we do? What do we do with the money? Also, Rabbi Ba, B'shem Rabbi Yosi, B'kaitzim and Mizbech. We take this money and we use it to buy kabbonis tzibur for when the Mizbech has no other kabbonis on it. Rabbi Babon, Boy Kamer Rabbi Yosi. Michl v'tshitos Rabbi Baba. We don't understand what's going on with Rechibar Baba. Taman Tzvichonlei. Previously he wasn't sure what's done with the money that's left over. V'kah, now we see Pshitalei, that it's obvious to him that it should be used for the money for Keitz HaMizbeach. Answers the Gemara, Hada Tzvichonlei, what Rechibar Baba meant to ask was like this, B'kli Sharis. His question was, could this money be used to buy Kli Sharis? Had the pshitalei, he was sure that it could be used for Keitz HaMizbeach. It was sure to him that it could be used for Keitz HaMizbeach, because we've been learning so many times, money from the Trumas HaLishka could be used for Keitz Mizbeach for Kabonis. The question here was, can it be used for Kli Sharis? And what is the question depending on? It's what we're going to learn in the next sugya. The question is the Torah prepared in Kli Sharis? If the Torah is prepared in Kli Sharis, so the Torah receives the Kedushas Aguf, so the money used to be paid to that Torah is money that has in it a Kedushas Aguf, and therefore can be used to buy, prepare Kli Sharis that also have a Kedushas Aguf. However, if the Torah was not prepared with a Kedushas Aguf, so the money received from being paid to the Kli Sharis, the Torah, is not money that has in a Kedushas Aguf, and therefore cannot be used to buy Kli Sharis that do have in them a Kedushas Aguf. The Spalding, which is really a machloikis, pitma bechulin, if the Torah was prepared in non-Kadosh Kalim. Rav Yossi bar Chanina, I'm a psula. That Torah is possible. Rav Shuben Levi says it's kosher. Explains the Gemara what is the basis of the machloikis. My time, the Rav Yossi bar Chanina that says it's possible, because the Torah says regarding the Torah, Kodesh he. The Torah has to be prepared in Kedusha, meaning it has to be prepared in Kli Sharis. My time, the Rishu ben Levi. What does the Rishu ben Levi hold? That he holds it doesn't have to be prepared in Kli Sharis? Because the Torah says, Kodesh he, Shteba Mechumas Elishka. The Torah means that you come from Chumas Elishka. Ask the Mepharshim. Ask the Mekdishtavid. According to Rabbi Yosef Bechanina, that the Pasuk is teaching us that the Torah has to come, has to be prepared in a Kli Sharis. That makes a lot of sense. Why I need a Pasuk to tell me that? But according to Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Shu ben Levi, who says that the Pasuk is coming to teach me that it's bought from Truma Salishka funds, of course it's bought from Truma Salishka funds. Everything is bought from Truma Salishka funds. That's what we've been learning in this Masechta. Answers the Migdash David, I still need a special pasuk, because as we explained at the beginning of this sugya, we make the ktiris, we make extra. We make 368 portions for 354 days of the year. To go and upfront use money for something we know we're not going to use this year, perhaps should not be permitted to use Tumas Halishka funds. That's why tells us of Yeshua ben Levi, we need a pasuk to tell us that we're allowed to use Tumas Halishka funds even for something we're not going to need this year. Says the Gemara, Amr Rabbi Yosef Berabon, Asid Rabbi Yosef Bechanina Kishmul. What Rabbi Yosef Bechanina said, that the Torah has to be made in Kodesh and Kli Sharis, follows something that Shmuel said. Rabbi Shu ben Levi, what Rabbi Shu ben Levi says, that it doesn't have to be made in Kli Sharis, follows what Rabbi Yochanan says. The Taninun, could we learn to the Mishnah? It's actually the next Mishnah in Daf Yud-Bei Zomar Aleph. Hamagdish Nechasov, somebody is magdish his possessions, and amongst the items that he was magdish are items that can be used for the tzibur and for kabbana tzibur. And Rabbi Yochanan Aimer, whereas Rabbi Yochanan say, what is the Mishnah referring to? Ketoros. Now the question is, how could, if ketoros has to be prepared in Kli Sharis, how could somebody have in his possession ketoros that he's magdish? People don't have Kli Sharis. They're not allowed to have Kli Sharis in their possession. If the next Mishnah tells us, Rabbi Yochanan, that a person, a private individual, could have Ketoros, it must be that Ketoros doesn't have to be prepared in Kli Sharis. And that's why somebody has Ketoros in his possession. And now the Mishnah begins to discuss, what's the halacha with Magdishit? So it's a riot, it's a proof that Ketoros doesn't have to be prepared in Kli Sharis. Or Rabbi Isha, that's no proof. Because Tiftar, we could explain that Mishnah speaking about Be'umim Mishil B'Aftinus, if somebody comes from the home of Aftinus, that we just explained, every year receive Ketoros in the Mishnah, in the beginning of the Gemara, in explaining how the Ketoros was redeemed, we ended up giving them Ketoros as payment, She'noitu B'Schar Ketoros, that he received Ketoros as payment, and he went, and he was Magdish to Ketoros, instead of selling it back to Hegdish, as we explained at the Gemara, he was Magdish it. So here but that Ketoros was real Ketoros. That should have been made in the Kli Sharis if you hold it has to be made in Kli Sharis. But we said the Rav Yosef ben Chanina holds like Shmuel. What does that mean? The mortar which was used to make the Ketores also saw Klisharis L'Kodesh, has the din of a Klisharis. So we obviously see that Shmuel holds that the Ketores was prepared in a Klisharis. Amar Rav Yosef B'Rabon Amar Rav Huna Kamei Rav Yosef Dover Shir Kodesh B'Klisharis. If you're saying that the Ketores was made in a Klisharis, so it has a real Kedushas Aguf. So the question is, could something that has that type of Kedusha, Nifta, be redeemed? Something that has that level of Kedusha can't be redeemed. So how could we have a discussion in our Mishnah Gemara? How the Ketores was redeemed? If it was prepared in a Klisharis, it should not be able to be Nifta. Amalei, v'lo de Shmuel hi. Who's the man, the Amar, that was saying that holds that it's redeemed? Shmuel. Shmuel holds kalhu b'maisa, that there's a special kula by leftover kadosh, that even if it has a kedushas aguf, it may be redeemed. The spalgan, because actually we find the machlokes Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, because the Mishnah says a mesechta erchin. As we've been learning, an animal that is used for a carbon had to be left 4 days to be examined that it had no mum, had no blemish. The Mishnah says in Masechta Erechin, there was never less than 6 animals set aside to at one time to keep checking if they're not bali mum. Where does the number 6 come from? Because the greatest amount of time that you can need animals, not be able to buy new ones, are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and a Shabbos afterwards. Rosh Hashanah would be Thursday, Friday, and then Shabbos, so that you couldn't buy new animals. So the greatest amount of time that you would need a supply of animals is 6 animals, 2 animals a day for the carbon talmud, 2 carbon talmuds per day. So they always had 6 animals. So the Mishnah there describes the following situation. As we've been learning in this Masechta, Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the cutoff date. On Rosh Chodesh Nissan, they started using the new shkolim, they stopped using the old shkolim. We have in this place where we keep the animals, 6 animals that were bought with the last year's shkolim. But we have 6 animals that were bought with last year's shkolim, and now it's Rosh Chodesh Nissan. I can't use those animals because I have to use new animals that were bought with this year's funds. So what do you do? Hasira tamimim. You have leftover animals that are fine animals. The only problem is that they were bought with last year's funds. Shmuel Amar, niftim tamimim. They can be redeemed even though they're unblemished. And then they're redeemed and then bought again with this year's funds. Rav Yochanan Amar, niftik psulim mikdashim. They have to be redeemed like any hegdish that becomes possible. That have to, yirash yistavu, we let them graze until they become balmum. So we see that according to Shmuel, even though something became Kadosh, like these Kabonos, they may be redeemed. Here too, he'll hold that the Ketores, even though it has a Kedusha Saguf, it may be redeemed. Since we spoke about such a situation, the Gemara continues. Hasiru Se'irim. Every Rish Chodesh, by the Karban Musaf, they had to bring a sar, a goat, a he-goat, a male goat, for Karban Musaf. Let's say an animal was designated for that purpose, and it got lost, and then they designated a second animal, brought the second animal, and now they find the first animal. So what is done with that first animal? Adati the Shmuel, according to Shmuel, im oila niftis, if a carbon oila, the carbon tamid, that the animals that we spoke about a moment ago were designated for carbon oila, can be redeemed, like koshke chatas, certainly a chatas, this sar is for the chat, is a chatas, certainly can be redeemed. And the first one say, what's pshat in this kavachomer? 2 pshat. One pshat is that an oila is a higher level of kedusha than chatas. So if a carbon which even has the high level of kedusha of being a carbon oila, according to Shmuel, can be redeemed, certainly a carbon chatas, which is a lower level, can be redeemed. Another pshat is that a carbon oila to be brought as an adava. So if Shmuel did not allow us to redeem those animals that were designated for the carbon tummy, which is an oila, I would still have what to do with it. I could bring it as an oil in the dover, an oil ketzam is beach. However, carbon chattis can't be brought as a donation. So they have no option what to do with the carbon chattis. It must be that Shmuel is going to hold, they're allowed to redeem it. I'll doubt to the Rabbi Yochanan. What about what Rabbi Yochanan is going to say with this carbon chattis of Rish Chodesh? Amrav Zeru, Yiru, they should be left to graze until they become a Bemish. Amrav Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Bekaitzman Azbeach. If you find this carbon chattis, it's used to be a carbon oiler on the Mizbeach where there are no other carbonus. Ask the Gemara, according to this, the Kasha, Yesh Chata Shekreva Oiler. This animal was originally designated to be a carbon chatos. So how can we now bring it as a carbon oiler? Omer Rav Yosef answers, Shanyihi. When a carbon is designated as a carbon tzibur, like this Sawyer, which is designated as the Sawyer Chatos for the tzibur, for Shchaydish, Shein Carbon Tzibur Nikvon El Bishchita. When does the animal of a carbon tzibur get its designation? Only actually when you get to the Shchita. Until then, it's not really fully designated. If that being the case, it never was really designated as a carbon chattis, because it only would get designated by the Shchita, which obviously never happened here. And therefore, since it was never fully, officially designated as a carbon chattis, it may be used as a carbon oiler. Amr of Chia, a different answer. Tanai Bezdin Hiel, a Moisa, Shikruva Oilers. The Bezdin, so to speak, makes a stipulation that should that happen, that if this animal which was designated as a carbon chattis should get lost and not be used as a carbon chattis, that they should be allowed to use it as an oiler. And since that was a stipulation up front, that that's what would be done with it, it's permitted, even though it was originally designated as a carbon chattis, to be used as a carbon oiler.